Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose day is surely coming, and we pray we are ready for his return, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from Matthew chapter 25. This time we'll read the second parable in that chapter, verses 14 through 30. This is the parable of the talents. Jesus again continues. He says, "You see, the kingdom of heaven is like a man going on a journey. He called his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and to still another 1 talent, each according to his own ability. Then he went on his journey. The servant who had received the 5 talents immediately put them to work and gained 5 more talents. In the same way, the servant who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the servant who had received 1 talent went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The servant who received the 5 talents came and brought 5 more talents. He said, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' The servant who received the 2 talents came and said, 'Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the servant who received 1 talent came and said, 'Master, I knew that you are a hard man, reaping where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter seed. Since I was afraid, I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' His master answered him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I did not plant and gather where I did not scatter seed. Well, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers so that when I came, I would get my money back with interest. Take the talent away from him and give it to the servant who has the 10 talents. Because everyone who has will be given more, and he will have abundance. But the one who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Throw that worthless servant out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. If you were given the gift of $1 million, what would you do with it? Would you buy your dream home? Forgive me, we're in California. Would you put a down payment on your dream home with that $1 million? Would you buy a dream car? How about a boat? Would you invest it? How much of it would you spend? How much of it would you save? How much would you give to charity? How much would you give back to the Lord? What would you do? It's kind of a fun thought experiment to think about what you would do with that kind of incredible gift, isn't it? However, I'm going to remind each one of us here today that this is more than just a hypothetical or a question that is left to our imagination. And no, this is not some sort of game show where you're surprised today that one of our lucky congregants has an envelope under their pew that has $1 million in it. Nope, it's not that either. No, in our text, we see Jesus referring to the parable of the talents. And maybe you didn't know this coming into the parable, but a talent in Jesus' day referred to a large amount of money. And so if you take that sum of money in Jesus' day and kind of extrapolate it to our day, a talent was worth approximately 6,000 days' wages. So a talent would have been worth approximately $1 million. So as you heard this parable, think of that in your mind when you think of Jesus or the master handing out these talents. He's handing them, each talent being worth $1 million. The point is, these are very, very valuable gifts this master hands out. And notice he hands these talents, these gifts out to each one of his servants. Everyone gets at least one, right? And it says he did so each according to his own ability. That's also an important phrase in this parable. So Jesus wanted all of his hearers, including us, to take to heart the lessons of this parable and apply them to our lives. One of the lessons he wants each of us to learn from this parable is the fact that he, the Master, has given each one of us very valuable talents, gifts. He's given to each one of us, just like the servants in the parable. In a sense, then, I'm reminding you today that Jesus has given us a gift. He's given us gifts, in fact, that are worth more than $1 million. In fact, even more than millions of dollars. So again, the question we need to ask ourselves today is, what would you do with such an incredibly valuable gift? Now, of course, this parable can be a little bit confusing because we don't use that term talents in the same way in our day, do we? Different use than in Jesus' day, but it does still make sense in the parable. Because what Jesus is speaking of with the talents in a figurative sense are all the gifts that he gives us. In our day, we use the word talent to refer to an ability or a skill. In fact, this is where that word comes from. This is the usage of that word, where it comes from, that we find it in this parable. The talent that Jesus gives us, the talents he gives us, are our intellectual gifts, our physical gifts, the gifts he gives us that we can, by his power and his strength and his mercy and grace, develop and grow as we go through our lives. Our talents would also include the material gifts he gives us, the things he places in our hands that we get because we've worked for them. We get wages. We get a paycheck. Maybe they've come to us through gifts, maybe inheritance or a gift from others. And the funny thing is sometimes we forget that money is a part of the talents that Jesus has given us, even though literally money is the picture used here in this parable. It is one of the valuable and important gifts that God has given us to use for the good of his kingdom and for the preservation and care of his people, us and our families. Our talents then would also include the time that Jesus gives us on this earth. It includes the opportunities he gives us to use those talents by serving him and serving our neighbor. And those talents, like the unit of money in the parable, are very, very valuable. What price can you put on time? And a huge part of the talents Jesus has given us is something that is even more valuable than all the things that we just mentioned put together. The great part of the talent that Jesus gives us is the gift of faith. Saving faith in our Savior Jesus is the greatest gift Jesus has given us, and he wants us to put that faith into action. In fact, that's one of the main lessons of this parable. Isn't that what separates, in the end, the first two servants, the faithful servants, from the third one, the unfaithful, wicked, lazy servant? He's shown to be wicked and lazy by his attitude, by his actions, and by his misrepresentation of what kind of man his master actually is or was. It shows that this third servant didn't even have that saving faith at all. Think of Jesus' explanatory words to this parable. Again, towards the end of the parables, we find Jesus giving us an explanation. He says, because everyone who has what? Faith. Everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. But the one who does not have, again, not have what? Faith. Even what he has will be taken away from him. This is why the master condemns that third servant in the end, saying, throw that worthless servant into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. There was not only no use of his talents, the fruits of faith that the servant was, or that the master was expecting, there was no faith altogether. And just take a guess what Jesus is referring to in that last part of the parable. The weeping and gnashing of teeth, the outer darkness, that is a reference, clearly, to the eternal punishment of hell. We read a parable like this, and we have these parables about the last days and these words of warning. It often does make us sit up a little straighter in our pew, pay a little more attention to the words that are being read, and maybe how does the pastor going to explain this parable to make me feel a little bit better than I did after reading verse 30 in this text? Well, Jesus' point here is not to lay a guilt trip on us. It's definitely not meant to terrify us. There are words of warning here. But first of all, we have to think about what is Jesus expecting of his servants in this parable. Think of what this master is like. Think of what Jesus is like. Is he actually being overly demanding? Is he being unreasonable? No, not at all. Notice again that verse 15 says he gives talents each according to his own ability. Why didn't he give that third servant 5 talents? He knew that servant could not handle the 5 talents, but he gave those 5 talents to the first one. He does not demand from us more than he will also supply. We have scripture passages to back up that statement. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God gives us the desire and the ability to do his good will. And so he gives to each one of us the gifts, not just the kinds of gifts, but the amounts of gifts that are exactly right for each one of us. In every case, he gives us the right combination of abilities, responsibilities, and opportunities so that each one of us can serve in his kingdom, in the greatest of ways to the smallest of ways. Remember also some very important words that Jesus said regarding things he considers to be good works when they're done in faith. He said this in Matthew chapter 10, "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." Think of how important those words of Jesus are. Even if it's something as simple as giving a cup of cold water in faith because you're a disciple of Jesus, you will certainly not lose your heavenly reward. The smallest act done in faith is seen by Jesus as being a good work. What Jesus is looking for then is not just faith, but also faithfulness in his servants. That's what he commends his servants for in the parable. He doesn't commend them, notice, for their production. He doesn't do some comparisons. Well, you had 5 and you made 5, you had 2 and you made 2, so I love you a little bit more than I love the other servant, and I'm going to reward you a little bit more than the other servant because you produced more. Notice he says the exact same thing to both of the first 2 faithful servants. I'm going to read to you verse 21 and verse 23 because they're both the same verse. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." What Jesus is essentially saying in this parable is just don't bury the talents I have given you. In fact, when you read the master's words to the lazy servant, when he says, "You should have deposited my money with the bankers, so that when I came, I would get my money back with interest," you're left with the impression that if the third servant had just done that, just put the money in the bank to get interest instead of just burying it in a hole, the master would have said the exact same thing that he said to the first 2 servants, wouldn't he? He would have said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Again, the reminder, even the smallest acts and uses of our talents, when they're done in faith, are seen by God as good. He sees them and says, "Well done," because of Jesus. So ultimately, we don't look for our comfort or our reassurance as we look at our lives and realize that there have been many times when we have been like that wicked and lazy servant. There have been many times where we have wasted our talents, every single one of them that God has given us in the form of time, abilities, faithfulness, you name it. We don't look to our works and the amount of things we've done for the Lord for our comfort and our reassurance. In fact, we look away from ourselves. We look to Jesus. We look to our gracious Master. Think of the grace, the undeserved gifts that He's given us. He's already given us the greatest gift, the gift of faith. He's given us that by His grace. That faith is a gift. It wasn't earned by you or deserved by you or willed into your heart by you. It was given to you by God's grace through the work of the Holy Spirit in His Word. He's already made us His own by His death on the cross and His glorious resurrection from the grave. Remember, we are referred to as His own servants in this parable. That's a comfort, isn't it? We are Jesus' own servants. We belong to Him. They are His talents, His gifts, freely given to share, given to us to share with others. Notice in the text, the talents are referred to as His goods. The Lord refers to the talents as my money, His money. He's given those things to us to use for the good of others. We've all been given so much as we look at our lives and we look at our lives in the light of this parable. We've been given so much, many valuable talents, just like the servants in Jesus' parable. Don't bury your talents. Don't bury your gifts. Use them. We often think it has to be in some grand, extravagant way or some monumental use of our gifts and talents that's very impressive or maybe even showy. But how does the Bible speak of the gifts that God gives to us? I want you to listen to this list of gifts that God gives each one of us from Romans chapter 12. Consider the gifts that are considered valuable in this list. Many of them are things that we can all do, things that you may already be very good at or doing and should be encouraged to continue to do. Maybe we haven't seen these gifts as being as valuable as God sees them. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8 says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully." And finally, again, remember who our Master is in this parable. It is Jesus. He is our merciful Master. He's loving. He's full of grace. He's filled us with His gifts, His talents, of His grace. And most importantly, He is forgiving. In fact, He's the one who earned that forgiveness for us. Forgiveness for all the times we have been unfaithful. Our unfaithfulness is one of the reasons He was faithful to the point of dying on that cross. That horrible cross that is so wonderful to us because on that cross, He paid for the forgiveness of all our sins. What would you do if you were given the gift of $1 million? Interesting question. A fun thought. But the reality is you and I have been given gifts, talents from our Savior that are much more valuable. We pray that He would move each of us talented Christians to use them. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.